Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, getting fired. Part two. Here we go. How about your network of friends and associates? Something we ought to be doing there?
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about this, I believe, about preparing for a market upturn. And we said, you know, how many times do we have to say it about staying current with people? Because when you need your network, it's not the time you want to be growing your network or refreshing your network, right? Don't be the guy who isn't in touch for years and then hits everybody up for contacts and recommendations right after he gets fired. Right? There's a difference between rekindling a friendship now and then later asking for a favor, as opposed to rekindling and then immediately asking for a favor. People don't appreciate it. People feel that you're using them, that it's not about the friendship anymore. And if you really were a friend of them and they really did owe you a favor, you would have stayed in touch with them a lot better. You know, we mentioned in one of our very first casts, Mike, about building your network. We said in the cast that the cast was not called networking, because people don't like networking. Well, building your network is something you do slowly, folks, and it's not something you do. Your network doesn't get built when times are hard, when you've been fired. The network that you have before you got fired is the network you've already built. Right. Any building you do after that is not really building. It's desperation, and it doesn't come across well.
Yeah, so here's a lesson here. If you're in a situation where you've just gotten fired or you think you may get fired, unfortunately, it's too late for your network.
Yeah.
Unless you've already built it. So the corollary of that is if you're not in that situation now, you may be in the future. You never know. Somebody as talented and as intelligent as Mark got fired. If that's true, you can be fired as well. So start building your network now. I mean, that's okay.
Yeah. In fact, don't even be shy about it. Admit it. I'm doing this because I might start building your network today, folks. Send an email to somebody you haven't talked to in a while. In fact, I just did this the other day. One of Mike and I's favorite people who's been to a conference three or four years ago, I can't remember, Alberto Magana, who was in Spain with Warner Brothers, was just a delightful person to have at a conference, just a wonderful guy. And I think at our last London conference, actually, a couple more folks from Warner Brothers in Spain came to the conference. And, you know, I realized I want to know Alberto 10 years from now, regardless of what happens with Manager Tools or what happens to him. And I realized I've thought that three times in the last 5 months, and I haven't sent him a note. So I sent him a note. Now, you could say, gee, Mark, I can't believe you're thinking about getting fired. But you don't actually have to think about getting fired to prepare for getting fired. You can prepare for getting fired by preparing your network and making sure you're in contact with people when you might need a favor. For all I know, it's not preparation for getting fired. Maybe I'm going to be in Spain and I want to have dinner with Alberto. And if I call him the week before I'm coming to Spain, it may be hard. Or he may be, wow, it's been a while since I talked to Mark. So do it now. That said, if you do know you're getting a fire, what do you do? And the answer is double the rate at which you get in contact with your network. Just double. And that's not that much, frankly, because most of you are contacting one or two people a week. So we're saying go to 2 to 4, big deal, right? If you currently send 3 emails a week to keep in touch, make it 6. If you currently have 1 lunch a week, make it 2. You need to make sure your network is fresh in order for it to work for you once you're fired. If you've got a month before you're going to get fired, and people do get that much notice, you can do stuff with that. You can actually talk about that, or you can use that to your advantage by starting to build, even though you're at the last moments of building. You don't need to say you're at the risk of being fired or that you're afraid of it. You know, remember our rules of networking, give, give, give. Find something to give, which allows you to be in touch, be upbeat, be positive. Mention you may be looking for something new soon. And if somebody probes and says, geez, I thought you'd had a tough year, says, yeah, well, I'm not sure if I'll be there in 6 months. And so I'm staying in touch with everybody because who knows where the opportunity will come from. Gosh, folks, if you read the stuff in the news, every single time someone is asked about what's the way to get hired, you know, how do people find jobs? Networking is always number one, a friend, a family member, or something like that. And the job boards, Monster and so on, are becoming less of an issue. They were popular, you know, after the internet boom. But they're starting to become less valuable to hiring companies and to individuals as well. Like I said, mention you may be looking for something and that you'd love to hear from them if there's anything there. As we've said before, in many ways, being fired can be an opportunity. as people have asked me, hey, how'd you start your consulting business? Oh, I got fired. Happens all the time. So that could happen to you. If there's something you've always wanted to do, if you've wanted to change careers or move, this might be the break you're looking for. And you may want to put together a move and a change at the same time and start over. I'll tell you something. I got an email recently from a student at Northwestern University where I gave a talk indirectly. And thanks to the dean there, the dean of the School of Engineering and Bill White, Mike and I's friend, who's a professor there and on the board. And this student wanted to know, you know, why I told him not to negotiate. And, you know, I talked about how I don't think young college students should negotiate their offers. And then I went on to say,
it's surprising because they have so much experience negotiating.
Yeah, they can actually negotiate. They can offer more work for a higher pay. It's a joke. And I read my own note a couple of times, and I was pretty direct with this kid because I felt like his question was a good one. And yet it seems to be common that, well, we should just negotiate because we can get more money, as if money's important. I said, look, if you can live on 75, you can live on 70K. If you can live on 35K, you can live on 30. And it occurred to me, you know what? If I got fired, if suddenly I couldn't do this job anymore, I mean, if things got really bad for some reason and I had to start over from square one, what would happen? Well, I'd sell my house. I might take a loss on it. I suppose that'd be expensive. I'd probably sell our cars and get a cheap one. And, I might ride a bike to work if I worked here in Fredericksburg. You know what? You suddenly realize all that stuff you got is just stuff. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, well, no, 6 years ago, I was living in a 1,000-square-foot house with my office in the house. My office was 500 of the square feet. So look, folks, you can start over. It's not hard. And preparing your network makes it easier for you to do that if, in fact, they have an opportunity that will allow you to do what you've been thinking about doing maybe in the back of your head all your life. I think we need to separate ourselves from our careers. Our careers are important, but they're not us. And if you give yourself a little bit of leeway, a little bit of credit, if you're not worried what other people will think of you, oh my gosh, look, he had to sell his house and sell his cars. Oh, gee. If you get over that for a minute and realize what other people think about you is based on their own biases, you give yourself a lot more room for options.
Yeah. Let's talk about the work for a second here, right? Remember our How to Resign cast, and folks, if you haven't listened to that, it'd be a good one if you're thinking about resigning. And we talked about a transition file, right? Beginning with a key project report or view of your team activities, status, and so on. If you're a manager, right, you need to prepare performance files on your team before you resign.
Right. And interim reviews. Didn't we say interim reviews as well?
We did, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So whether you resign or you get fired, all that guidance is equally appropriate here. If you think you're going to get fired, you need to go to that cast and do the same things that we talked about in How to Resign.
Yeah. There's something else you didn't mention, which is in those casts that I want to share because someone wrote us a note about it recently. And that is, even though it got a lot of sort of negative press from some of our listeners, and we were called Luddites, folks, you got to print out your contact list. Okay, you got to have a printed version of your contact list. If it's in your company laptop, if it's on your company desktop, if you're easily able to type email addresses and you've forgotten that they're all based on a server with a database of names and email addresses internally in the company, folks, you got to print out your contact list. Names, addresses, emails, phone numbers, all that stuff, company names and so on. If you have a company name, you can probably find the person, even if you don't have an address or an email. Look, you've got to print that stuff out. I think it's actually the layoff immunization cast. We talked about what to do, and that was one of the huge things you've got to do. I think that was the one we also said, you've got to have 6 months worth of pay saved up. But look, the funny thing about this, the thing that people don't get is all that guidance is equally appropriate if you think you're going to get fired. Even as you're thinking about, well, I may not be here, or I got to work through this stuff I've got to work through, you can prepare to leave at the same time. If you have to be at work for the next 3 weeks, you don't stop working. If there's a chance you can save your job, then you should try to save your job. But look, if in fact you're going to be gone, you have a professional obligation to dot your I's and cross your T's and clean up your stuff for the next person. And we've had hundreds of people, now probably not hundreds, but close to 100 people on the forum say, wow, I followed your guidance about leaving, and my boss said it was the most professional departure he had ever seen. Right? That's what you want. I mean, that's the praise you want. I want to be considered a professional, even when I'm not being treated like a professional. I've said before that character is not what you go into a trial with. It's what you come out of a trial with. And when you come out of a trial and people are saying, wow, you handle that well, that's a lot of character. That's professional character. That's professional maturity. Instead of leaving your plans in your head and your files and all of your people in a state where, you know, quote, you can find them, you know, prepare them as if you're going to hand them over. If you don't get fired, you'll be seen as totally more professional because you have a better grip on your work and your workspace. Prepare for a professional transition. Now, obviously, if you find out on Monday that you're going to get fired on Tuesday, you won't be able to do that. But look, the opposite of this is just an egregious, fatal error. And, you know, we know people who have destroyed databases as their parting shot when they got fired or even just when they were resigning. Even if the people around you, including your boss, are acting unprofessional, you don't need to. If you know you have a month before you're going to get fired and they're waiting to fire you to ask you to resign because to pursue other opportunities, because that way you can get your annual bonus in February if you're working in the financial services industry in the U.S., then darn it, dot your I's and cross your T's and don't flip the bird to your company who you've been employed by and been taking their pay for years. Do the right thing. Don't ask, what do they deserve from me? Ask, who do I want to be thought of? You know, what do I want people to say about me? And you know what? The cynical people will laugh at you that you're actually helping the company that's firing you because it's going to be easier for them after you're gone. But you'll learn something very powerful about not playing down to the level of the opponent you have, but rather stepping up and saying, who do I want to be? As opposed to, what could I get away with? The whole idea of what could I get away with is not a professional way to go through life.
Look, don't forget, if you're not getting along with your boss and your boss is a jerk and you're getting fired because of your boss, okay, well, let that go. Because guess what? Your boss is not the only manager or person in the company. There are others around you who have nothing to do with you getting fired, and they're still evaluating you. And look, you're going to have a long, prosperous career, I'm sure, and you're going to run into those people again. So even when you get fired, there's an opportunity to impress others, and you never know how those people might be able to help you in the future.
Yep, exactly, right. Everybody's watching. And look, folks, if you're afraid your self-esteem is going to be battered by being fired, leaving professionally and doing what you believe is the right thing to do will make you feel better about it, will bolster you, will make you feel stronger, and will set a standard for how you're going to handle your career search rather than wallowing in your concern for yourself.
Yeah, and going to the next step in terms of finding a new job and having a better self-esteem is not a bad thing. So we've talked about a lot so far, but let's talk about the hardest part of being fired. And that is, at some point, it's likely that you're going to have to explain what happened in an interview. And that can be hard if you've never done that before. Do you have any advice for that?
Let's take it in two parts first. I'll tell you how you handle the interviewing thing. It's really not terribly hard. You say, hey, the company and I agreed my performance wasn't up to standard. I've learned a lot. I'm looking forward to applying my strengths to new projects where I know I can succeed. Boom, there you're done. But I want to suggest something before that. In order to deliver that in a relaxed way, and in fact, it wouldn't be against a protocol to say, actually, I got fired. I was terminated. There's a minus, but there's not as big a minus there as there is with somebody who tortures the language in order to say something that really isn't true, but isn't false as well. The more tortured the language, the more dangerous the undertones of whatever you're trying to say.
Yeah, you can imagine after a 5-minute explanation of what happened,
like,
the interviewer
really?
Goes, so you got fired, right?
Yeah, so you got fired. And then you say, yeah, and then you got minus two, right? Because they know you got fired and they know you try to dance around it with lots of fancy words. Now, look, if you're a professional columnist who's won a Pulitzer Prize or something like that, okay, you might have the words that are clever and make people feel good about you and not realize you got fired. But I'm guessing people who are listening to this cast are not Pulitzer Prize winning writers, okay? But let me suggest something else. Before you start thinking, or maybe when you're thinking about how to answer this question, what you need to do is you need to go, when you go to your spouse, say, hey, I got fired. When you talk to your kids, say, hey, kids, we have something to tell you. I got fired. Three words, I got fired. That's what you say, or I got terminated. Don't say the company did. Tell your friends, hey, I got fired. In fact, if you send an email, I was just exchanging emails with my good friend David Hoyt the other day, and he got to play Augusta, and so I was jealous. And I was giving him a hard time about it. And, you know, if I were going to send a note to David, I would say, David, hey, man, bad news. I got fired. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, Mark's a high D, and so that's easy for him to do. But look, it strips away all of the vagueness, all the uncertainty, and you get credit immediately for being candid, for being direct, for not trying to blame somebody else. It shows that you are really professionally mature. And when a person starts hearing, when one of your friends starts hearing one of your tortured answers, you start giving an interviewing answer to a friend, they know something's up. So let's prepare for the interview answer by saying I got fired to friends and family, parents, spouses, kids, neighbors, people at the gym. You know, what are you doing here at the gym at 10 o'clock in the morning? I got fired. I'm starting looking for a new job. People will be like, I promise you, I did it. And people are like, wow, unbelievable. And if you do this, it's way easier to feel good about your answer in an interview. It'll be a lot less tortured. You'll discover that, as Indiana Jones did, that even though the gun goes off, it doesn't hit you and you're not dead and you're going to be okay. It's amazing. I promise you, let those of us who have gone before you reassure you, the reaction you're expecting almost never happens, not only from your friends, but also in interviews as well. I think the key, Mike, going forward, the key for people working on career tools would be having gotten fired, because both Wendy and I have gotten fired. When she was fired, she was surprised how dismissive potential new employers were of the fact that she'd been fired. She thought it would be a huge deal, and it just rarely was. Now, look, sometimes it will be, but okay, there's nothing you can do about it because you didn't choose to get fired, but you did get fired. She wasn't, in fact, she wasn't even asked why she left her ex-employer, and so it never came up. Okay, now don't go through your life in your transition period thinking, oh gosh, it's not going to come up, I don't have to worry about it. But looking back on it, Wendy says the hiring managers are already decided she was a good candidate. They were looking for evidence to validate their good sense, which is not great interviewing technique, but that's a whole different thing. The fact that she had been fired didn't fit into their paradigm, and so they dismissed it. It wasn't relevant to them. And that's true of a lot of managers. But, okay, if you've gotten that in your head and you've been telling people, hey, I got fired, it sucks, but that's where it is. I got fired. And now, by the way, you've gotten minus one career-wise. You've gotten plus one personally from people for being so candid with them, because they've heard other people try to explain it, and it's just weird when people torture the language. But you do need to prepare an answer to the question, why are you leaving? And you need to be practicing it so you can deliver it with poise, with equanimity, right? Straightforward, confident answer. If you do that, if you have a straightforward, confident answer, you're not going to provoke further questions, in the same way that if you mumble an answer, or if you're vague, if you're tortured the language, it'll come across. So what I said before was, the company and I agreed my performance on my last project was not up to standard. I've learned a lot. I'm looking forward to applying my strengths to new projects where I know I can succeed. For those of you who are high Ds who feel like there's a lot of words, you can say, well, I was terminated. It was a difficult situation. The company and I agreed I hadn't done as well as they'd wanted me to, and now I'm looking for a new opportunity. I'm excited about it. Or my big project didn't turn out as well as I thought, and I got fired. And now I'm looking for new opportunities, and I learned something valuable, which is I am not my job. And it's simple. The first sentence describes the circumstances, and the second sentence just looks to the future.
That's important, though, that look to the future. I mean, you want the person that you're talking to be talking about and thinking about the future, not the past, right?
Right. Now, you'll notice, though, that's only two sentences. And Mike points out that you've got to get that second sentence in there. But we don't want 11 sentences, the first of which is soft and the next 10 of which are about the future. Because now they think you're trying to bury that first sentence. Two sentences. One about the past. What happened? I got fired. I got terminated. The company and I agreed. My performance wasn't up to snuff on a particular project. And so now I'm looking at new opportunities, and I'm excited about it. I mean, you want a rough balance so that they feel like you're not dodging it. And if they ask, hey, what happened on the project? Say, here's what happened. And then be ready to answer that about how you failed. And look, if you keep it short, two sentences, and deliver with confidence, you're going to be surprised at the reaction. And look, folks, if in fact you're interviewing because you got fired, you did get fired. And if somebody decides they're not going to hire you because you got fired, you hiding that fact only increases the chances that later somebody will find out that you did. Your references will get checked, for instance, or God forbid you go to work there for a month and then they discover that you misled them. And then they say, well, you're not an ethical person. There are going to be some people who don't like you, who don't want to hire you because you were fired. Folks, there'll be some people who don't like you because of the way you dress, because they think that you're answering interviewing questions too directly, that you're too polite, that you don't have exactly this one particular skill that, frankly, they don't realize isn't all that important in the job they're hiring for because they just want to get a warm body in there. It's easy to blame people for not wanting to hire good people who have gotten terminated, but if we blamed people for all the stupid reasons they interviewed poorly, we'd spend all our time doing nothing but blaming people. So the fact is, this is another thing that can be used against you, but there are so many things that can be used against you in an interview. This is just one of hundreds, and that's just the nature of interviewing. Let it go. And that's it. Don't fret. Don't assume the worst. It's not going to do you any good. There's all kinds of good things that will come out of it, as those of us who have been fired can tell you. You've got to talk to your family. You've got to tell your spouse. My recommendation is say, hey, I got fired. And as I've said before, right, if your spouse says, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? He or she is not talking about the next 5 minutes. They're talking about the next 6 months. And so when you answer as I did, well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to get a cup of coffee. They don't like that very much. That is not a good answer to have. Although at that point, within 5 minutes of my being fired, I was over it and realized that this is not that big a deal and I'll be okay. And that was what I was trying to communicate, but it didn't really come across that way. But you can tell your kids and you can tell your friends. And the way to prepare for a good interview and the way to get over it is to say out loud, I got fired. Prepare your network. If you've got a little advance notice, start now and double your efforts. You've got to prepare your work, folks. You've got to leave professionally. If there's a chance you can save your work, then save your job, then do try to save it. And if you can't, spend some time not bailing, not sabotaging, not being rude, not being unprofessional, but dotting your I's and crossing your T's and leaving things as good as you possibly can. Because I promise you, smile at people on your way up. You're going to see them on the way back down, and you're going to run into these people again if you stay in your industry. And what they'll remember is not just that you got fired, but you got fired and you handled yourself with dignity when in fact the average person would not have. That's character. And then you've got to prepare an answer, and it's not hard. It's just those two sentences. Don't be too vague about it. And if you want to, say I got fired, and that's a professional answer. Look, being fired is a lot like being dumped by your first boyfriend or girlfriend. It feels like the end of the world, folks, for many people. Even though everyone around you assures you it's not so bad, you can't believe it. Once you've been through it, though, you realize we're right. And even if you can't believe us right now, I promise you we're right. Being fired will not ruin your career. Behaving badly through it will ruin your career, or very closely. And even if it doesn't quite ruin your career, it won't make the situation any better. Behave well, behave professionally, behave with professional maturity. You'll get through it much more easily than you thought you might, and you'll learn something of inestimable value, which is you are not your job, and you will begin to realize that the places we need to look for self-satisfaction are as much internal as they are external. Don't allow your professional self-respect to be based on what somebody else thinks about you, because that's a losing game.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, partner.
Okay, we'll see you. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you again next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.